The Suncoast Tiger Bay Club presents Changemakers, celebrating the arts and culture of St. Pete's Black community. A luncheon virtual presentation on Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. The Suncoast Tiger Bay Club serves as a civic commons where thought leaders and citizens of all political stripes come together to discuss pressing issues of our time.
Welcome to this virtual event celebrating Black History Month. My name is Joanna Cheshire. I'm president of the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club and your host for today. So since 1978, the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club has served as a civic commons where thought leaders and citizens of all political stripes come together to discuss the pressing issues in our community. Now, in these challenging times, it has never been more important to engage in nonpartisan conversations, ask tough questions, and foster a better understanding of public issues. Since we cannot be together at our monthly luncheons, which I sorely, sorely miss, Suncoast Tiger Bay is committed to bringing these conversations to you with virtual events just like this one. So 3 years ago, the Suncoast Tiger Bay Club made a commitment to the Black community of St. Petersburg that we would join them in celebrating Black History Month with a very special event every February. This year, we're honored to have with us changemakers from our area to explore what's new and exciting in the Black arts and culture scene in St. Petersburg. It's with great pleasure that I introduce our moderator and board member, Adam Smith. Thank you so much for joining us today, Adam.
Hey, thanks for having me. This will be fun. I'll just quickly introduce the guests. Terry Lipsy Scott is a force of nature and also executive director of the Carter Woodson African American Museum. Lee Davis is arts and culture outreach manager for Creative Pinellas. And Cranston Cumberbatch, who's that's his real name, is actor, writer, producer, director, vocalist, and executive director of the Tampa Bay Actors Guild, co-owner of Dream Makers Production, performing arts director of Pinellas County Job Corps. And I'll give you guys a few minutes to sort of introduce yourselves, talk about what you're doing and what's on your mind. Let's go alphabetically. Let's start with Cranston. Cranston, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Adam. It's truly a pleasure to be a part of this webinar and discussion. I like Honey Nut Cheerios with 2% milk. currently, as far as projects that we're working on, several big movie projects right now. We have two web series that we're working on, one called Nothing Else Matters and another one called Simi, both of which will be screening at Sundown AMC on the 27th of this month as a part of the Black Art and Film Festival. And we're working on several documentaries at this time around the St. Pete Peaceful Protest March. We're also working on some other documentaries as well along those lines. In the city and also in some other states. So we're excited to have some work during this time of COVID. And that's pretty much all I got right now.
Thanks, appreciate it. Lee, how about you? Tell us what you do, what Creative Pinellas does, and what's your senses of the arts scene right now?
Sure, thank you. Well, it's my honor to be a cultural keeper for Black artists and arts and culture in St. Petersburg and in Pinellas County through my role with Creative Pinellas as the Arts and Culture Outreach Manager. We provide grants to artists. We work with the tourism and hospitality industry to bring art to hotels and to promote Pinellas County as a cultural tourist destination. We also work with our many foundations, like the Foundation for Healthy St. Pete, which grants funds to artists to help get the word out about their behavioral health resources, and then also with the Pinellas Community Foundation on the Arts Relief Fund. In my personal life, I am a co-founder of the WORD Initiative, which stands for Women Organizing Real Discussions. We are a collective of Black women that are dedicated to transformative arts and culture experiences. It was founded in 2018, and our main project is the WORD Book Boxes, which provides free, culturally responsible, locally sourced books with positive images of diverse characters and narratives to communities in South St. Petersburg. We have locations in Jordan Park, at the Johnny Ruth Clark Community Health Center, at the Jet Jackson Recreation Center, Childs Park Recreation Center. And then we also have one, we have one in Campbell Park, that's our newest one. And then in partnership with Keep St. Pete Lit, we have one in the Children's Reading Garden at the Factory St. Pete. So we source these books through donations from the public and also in partnership with Cultured Books, which is a bookstore, children's bookstore located in the Deuces with a mission of fostering self-love through positive images of people of color. We've also partnered, our initiative is also partnered with the Barbershop Project, which provides free haircuts and books to children that read aloud.
Okay, thanks. And Terry, you've got a ton on your plate. If you haven't met her or heard from her, she'll probably be hitting you up for money soon because she's got a big capital campaign going on. What's going on in your world?
Well, good afternoon, everyone. And thank you so much for the opportunity to share this platform for the, with this amazing group of individuals. I am Terry Lipsey Scott, Executive Director of the Dr. Carter G. Woodson African American History Museum. The museum opened its doors here in the city of St. Petersburg in 2006. And proud to say, Cranston was once our office manager, very engaged and responsible for a lot of what took place in our formative years. Needless to say, we are advancing leaps and bounds. We're doing extraordinary things here in the community. One of the things that during this time of COVID, we had to become a bit creative in the sense of how we can remain engaged. And one of the things that we did coming right out of the box was work with the city and the Arts Alliance in creating the most beautiful Black Lives Matter mural in the nation. We had thousands of people tour our mural in a community where folks thought that it shouldn't be. We have afforded an opportunity for folks to venture within our city, within our state, across our nation, and across the country to come to a place in our city where Black lives have always mattered. And with that, we have gone virtual with our programming. Mondays at the museum is when a whole lot goes on at the Carter G. The second Monday of every month, we have created programming for allyship that we call Can We Talk? The second Monday of every month at 7 p.m., we engage women of all races, all ages, all cultures, where we have an opportunity to just talk. And it's entitled, Can We Talk? The second Monday of every month, we are hosting a continuation of a book we started last month entitled Real Talk, Black Pain. And it's being hosted and facilitated by Dr. LaDonna Butler. The third Monday of the month, Brothers Begging to Breathe, The Voices of the Unheard. And it's hosted by a group of different African-American males from time to time with a platform to be heard. And we're ecstatic about that. Last Saturday of the month, we have Curious Conversations, and it's hosted with Celeste Davis. And Celeste bring in individuals from all over the country where they're having conversations about extraordinary works of art. And we just started a book club of our own. And it's Let's Get Lit. And that's the fourth Saturday evening of every month at 6:30 p.m. And this month's book is entitled The Miseducation of the Negro, written by yours truly, Dr. Carter G. Woodson. So I haven't even broached the subject just yet, Adam, about my fundraising initiative. We'll save it for later.
Thank you. Let's stir things up. I think probably all of us on this Zoom meeting would agree that one of the things that makes St. Pete great is the vibrant, funky arts culture in the city. And I wonder, I think most people think of that broadly, but if you narrow it down and focus on the African-American arts culture, how vibrant is it? How, what's going on there? Is it as exciting as we're seeing elsewhere? Does it need more help? I guess this is sort of a nebulous question about equity and whatnot. How are you feeling about the African American art scene in St. Pete? I'll start with you, Lee, for the heck of it.
Well, I think it's alive, rich, diverse. I think that we have a lot of incredible partners and people who understand the importance of telling diverse stories. We've got educational companies, you know, the Arts Conservancy for Teens and Arts for Life Academy. And, you know, we've got incredible African American Heritage Association. We've got a brand new production company here called Black on the Scene, which is working to produce a kids show about art. So there's a lot of incredible organizations here, but much like the arts in general, we need funding, we need support, we support patrons, advocacy. And I do think that that is historically underrepresented in art for people of color, you know, about people of color, representing people of color. So I absolutely think that there is more equity that needs to be addressed as it relates to, I mean, look, this is an incredibly rich community and the history. And we think about the history of the Deuces and the Manhattan Casino. And, you know, we've got, this is the home of Angela Bassett and of Kenny Leon. I mean, this is an incredible, it's one of the reasons why I moved here almost 4 years ago, was specifically for the arts and culture. So I absolutely believe that it's important for the entire community to extol, to support, to uplift, to, you know, advocate for our Black arts and culture here.
And Cranston, as an artist, you know, a lot of people might be inclined to move to New York or Atlanta or LA or you name it. How hard is it to be a working artist in St. Petersburg, Florida?
Well, for me, I've been very fortunate to be able to have gained a lot of opportunity to work as an artist here in the city. St. Petersburg truly is a city of opportunity, but a lot of that opportunity I did have to go and seek out myself in creating my own platform, you know, to be seen on, for my talent to be discovered coming from the south side of St. Petersburg. One of the main, stakeholders for me was the St. Pete Little Theater at the time, but now it's St. Pete City Theater. And I would always pass that theater all the time, you know, but there was never anything happening there that I felt I could be a part of. And then finally, something opened up that gave me the opportunity to actually perform in that theater. And from there, things just kind of took off for me once I got that opportunity. Being a product of the community and being able to hear a lot of the voices of just people that are just as talented as me, if not more, there really has not been a lot of opportunities for those talents to be discovered in the area. And one of my initiatives has always been to help to create that platform to help bring more artists to the awareness of what's going on in the city and to create more self-initiative to actually go out and seek more opportunities to get involved in the arts community throughout the city in its totality. I will say that it's getting better. It is getting a lot better than what it was before. But with COVID and things of that nature, just as we were starting to climb out of that place of disparity, now we kind of sunk back down again with the whole world being put on pause. Hopefully with the initiatives, things that Creative Pinellas are doing, they've created and opened the doors for a lot of grant opportunities for artists, period. to, you know, get the opportunity to be seen and get some work and get back out there. Those initiatives are starting to help a lot. Hope more of them will come and flow more south than staying north.
Terry, you obviously got huge things happening with the new museum and the expanded museum. But if I go on the Arts Walk, which is kind of slowly coming back amid COVID, I mostly see white faces and mostly white artists. Is that, what am I missing? And I know you've talked about how majority of your clientele is white. Why is that, and does it bother you?
I want to go back to the question you asked previously and weigh in just a little bit. And I heard Cranston say several times over opportunity. Opportunity, unfortunately, does not equate to what's needed, and that's equity. There is such a lack of equity, particularly in the African-American art realm. And giving consideration to where we are as a community in a city that touts art and history and culture and preservation, African American history, art and preservation still finds itself at the bottom, at the absolute bottom. And the appreciation for being at the table is wonderful. That's inclusion. But we have to give true consideration to the equity element. You can't provide for the Carter G. Woodson African American Museum what you're providing for the Museum of History, per se, and think that it's equitable, because it's not. We're 400 years behind in this race. And needless to say, there are individuals who have 100 years ahead of us. The Carter G. Woodson started out, like I stated, in 2006. And still, we have yet to even achieve the gifts that have been made available to other museums in this community. Yet, we have museums that have closed in this city that have garnered more than we have as an African-American museum. This museum is in a public housing community center, what was once a public housing community center, but we're touting museums, art, history, and culture. So we're here on this platform today because of a commitment to Black History Month. That in and of itself reeks inequity. That it's been decided that this month we're going to have some Black folks on this platform. Something's inherently wrong, even with that thought. Because as much as I'm appreciating this opportunity, it suggests that I'm going to give you a time. And that time is this month. I'm going to stop talking for a minute.
But I want to be clear. When you talk about the inequity of the community support, are you talking about public, like city hall, county government, state government funding? Or are you talking about local private donors? Or are you talking about both?
I think that we can put that all in the same space, to be quite fair and to be honest. When we consider the amount of money that comes in from the state, the kind of investments that's even been made here locally. I get on my soapbox over and over again because I'm indeed grateful for the commitment that this administration has made to the Carter G. Woodson. We've been gifted 5.5 acres of land and awarded $1 million to get things started. And, you know, now we're being tasked with raising funds to build a museum. And I just find myself over and over again having to take that deep breath, Adam, because you and I both worked the City Hall beat. We were both in that space. And we both can identify with those who came in the front door with a request and left out the back with everything that they asked for. And needless to say, in this community, there are individuals who enjoy the exclusive luxuries of our taxpayer dollars. I don't have a plane, but we have an airport and no one had to fundraise. We have a marina and I don't have a yacht or a boat, but our taxpayer dollars supports that. We have the Mahaffey Theater. I love the orchestra, but fundraising wasn't a part of the element of creating those spaces. We built a baseball stadium and didn't even have a baseball team. And fundraising wasn't a part of that. So I find myself a little jaded from the perspective of what I know has been done and accomplished in this community. And finally, when African Americans make their way to the front door, making an appeal for something that's important to them, the least of us have been told you need to fundraise. So yeah, there's this huge inequity as it relates to the needs and the desires of a community.
Do either of you guys, Cranston or Lee, want to weigh in or add to that?
I mean, I agree. Like Terry said, having been in the trenches with the museum and also being a product of the community as well. Yeah, the inequities definitely, exist to where, like Terry said, we'll give you this, but you're going to have to get the rest of that. And, there is a bit of, like she said, there is a jaded feeling that is left when you know better. From being a part and being engaged, not just in your community, but being engaged in the city as well, and being able to, can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, because my screen just did something really funny. Sorry about that.
Good.
I'll just keep talking because I don't know if you can see me or not, but I can't see you guys. To not be on an equal playing field to where you have the same credentials, you are proven that you are a beacon of the community, that you are a proven resource that can bring equity to the community, and not just for the community that you serve, but anyone that visits the area as a tourist or as a just having been to this part of town before, to be a proven source of that and still not be given the same opportunity to thrive, that does not sit well. It kind of hurts.
So Lee, you haven't been here that long, but do you live in St. Pete?
Yes, I live in St. Pete.
Okay, well, there, 10, 15, 20 years ago, if you went down 22nd Street South, coming from Central Avenue, First Street, you wouldn't have had all these arts galleries. You wouldn't have had breweries, and you wouldn't have had, I don't know when the Clay Center started. Maybe you would have just started to have that. And there's so much going on there. And I guess my question is all this growth in arts, is it gentrification or is it a great thing for what was traditionally an African-American community? Or is it both?
I mean, I think that if you sweep the history under the rug, then it's not a great thing, but it is gentrification. You know, one of my personal opinions is, the Warehouse Arts District is getting a lot of attention and it does incredible work. But to me, when I see geographically, I see that WADA is within the Deuces.
Right.
So why is, I have wondered, and I've had questions, you know, had talks with my friends and asked, you know, why is it that it is not WADA within the Deuces, or WADA, you know, why is it not the Deuces and WADA a part of the Deuces? I think that that is something that we as society, as, because I'm not going to just limit it to the United States, but we have as a society have a tendency to do that, you know, to forget, to not include history, to not tell the stories and tell the truth, to be quite frank. You know, it is my, you know, I am really, it's really important to me personally that whatever happens with Tropicana Field, that the history of the Gaslight District does not go away with that. And that can be told through arts and culture. That can be told in a way that is, you know, visual, it's performing arts, it's poetry, it's, you know, but it has to be told.
And Terry, I ask you the same thing, that the Warehouse Arts District and all that's going on there, and some funding actually that is really was technically meant for economic development in needed areas. How does that work with the Deuces and with the historically African-American community? Is it, does it mesh well? What do you think when you see all this activity?
Well, what I recognize first and foremost is in a city that's built out the way St. Petersburg is, the most affordable land that's left in our community, you're going to find in the African-American community. And it saddens me over and over again that a more thoughtful and careful plan was not in place with regard to how to preserve the integrity of that historical community. When I, not being a native of St. Petersburg, but recognizing what I've come to learn since I've been here and what I've been able to observe, we preserve Rosa Park, old Rosa Park, old Northeast, old Kenwood, old Mirror Lake, everything that's old in this community, there's an affinity too with regards to its preservation. And sadly enough, when it comes to the African American community, there is not the same level of attention giving to preserving those communities. It still burns me to my core that we're in the process of demolishing the last 31 units of the Jordan Park community. I'm not a native again, but it saddens me to think that this, what's left of that originally developed African-American community, it's on its way out. And who really cares? So as we look at the Warehouse Arts District, I can't fault these individuals for making the investments that they've made in order to create this space, but it grieves me that not enough individuals were paying attention to what's going on in that community and have allowed it to transpire the way it has and the way that it is. The land that the museum has been gifted is going to be along 22nd Street South, along the Deuces. For me, that's critically important because again, it goes back to where Black lives always mattered in St. Petersburg. You know, it's properly positioned. So if it's in that space that we're going to tell the story, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. And it's my hope that we will be able to preserve, present, celebrate the African-American history of this culture, of this community. We consider the Kenny Leons and the Angela Bassetts and the Will Packers of this community, the rich history that they represent, and all came from that community. It's amazing to me. And again, I'm grieved and I'm saddened, but again, there's some ownership that we with voices have to own when not speaking up when it comes to preserving what we need to preserve from the African-American's perspective.
Can you give us a preview of what's coming in with the new museum?
Amy, help me. I'm ecstatic to provide to our viewing audience the renderings that have been created for our new Carter G. Woodson African American Museum. And a friend of mine, Lorna Taylor, and I met this extraordinary artist a few years back who does installation art. And one of his pieces happened to have been We Belong Here. And when we talked earlier about gentrification, that message resonated with me. I'm thinking, this museum belongs here, the story belongs here, and we, African Americans, and the history belongs here. We belong here. So along the Deuces, diagonal from the historic Manhattan Casino, we are excited, hopeful, and so looking forward to the creation of not just St. Petersburg or Pinellas County or the Tampa Bay area, but Florida's African American Museum, a proper African American museum to be celebrated in our city, state, county, and state and nation. And the renderings were created by Jason Jensen and Mario Gooden. Mario Gooden's an African American architect, and in partnership with Jason, creatively came up with, oh my God, one of the most fascinating and beautiful works of art, greater than what I had imagined. They took my thoughts and the thoughts of those on the board of the Woodson and created just a spectacular work of art. And can we go back to there we are. I mean, how amazing is that? We're psyched. All we need now is some money and some equity, and we're going to have the most extraordinary tourist destination that this city has ever seen. So we're psyched.
I want to ask, we had a couple of questions, and I invite everybody to ask any questions you like. Got a couple here from that I'm going to kind of combine from Jim Gillespie. Black art forms have a rich history in America. And Lee, I'll start with you. Black art forms have a rich history in America. What have Tampa's metro art organizations done to respond to Black art forms, and what more should they do? Can a Black artist make a decent living in St. Petersburg? And then secondarily and related, he also asks, do you see whites becoming more interested in seeing and buying Black art locally? Lee.
So I will say that there's a lot of partnerships with, and speaking about organizations like American Stage, that is, you know, very committed to uplifting plays about Black people on all different, you know, ages and, you know, classics and current, you know, they have a show coming up about Louis Armstrong. So, and Free Fall, you know, I think that there's partnerships there, right? Just this past weekend at the Factory, they did a pop-up art show with Black artists from both Tampa, all over Tampa Bay. So I think that there are, you know, incredible advocates and there are incredible partners. I still think that we need more funding. We need more partnerships. We need more just awareness and vocalness around it.
What I'll ask you this, Cranston, how do you see the Tropicana Field redevelopment and the RFP process? How does that fit into the art scene in St. Pete, and particularly the art scene for people of color? It's a tough one.
It is a tough one. I mean, because when we know the history, before it became Tropicana Field, with it being Tropicana Field, and now it's no longer going to be Tropicana Field. You know, trying to see how we have a voice in that and a place in that is, I mean, it's a tough question. I mean, really right now, I mean, I do know that we are a city of the arts. And I do know that art will be involved in that in some capacity. Whether or not the initiative would be to use more local artists, more artists of color, things of that nature to help in the development of Tropicana Field as things get, you know, I guess restructured, that's to be seen. Right now, I'm just at a place of, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough question to ask.
Well, we don't know where it's going to, but Terry, how do you see Tropicana Field fitting into particularly the arts community in St. Pete and what you're trying to do?
Well, the one thing I don't want to do is limit the exposure of African-American art and history and culture. I don't want this community to perceive that the history of Black history in St. Petersburg should be relegated to a specific space, when in fact the contributions of African-Americans here in the city of St. Petersburg represents what has made our city wonderful, okay? So not just there in the gas plant area, but throughout the city of St. Petersburg, I would love to see African-American art, the history and the culture weaved into every aspect of what's happening here. Because again, I'm still hearing too much of the segregated element. Why are we still segregating where Black art should be? And why are, you know, the renderings from African-American in abstract? Why can't we visibly see the faces of African-Americans in art spaces? I love the abstracts, but I also love the essence of being able to visually see oneself. I was able to write a grant, and the grant is, I've commissioned a piece of art, and I say I, and forgive me for saying I, the Woodson has commissioned a piece of art that's being funded by Duke Energy that I'm so excited about. It's in the works as we speak. I've identified an African-American artist who's created two murals at the beautifully new Melrose Elementary School. And these murals will have two buses. And on there will be a, because it's an elementary school and the boys and girls still don't see themselves quite together, it's a boy bus and a girl bus with the overarching theme, get on the bus, you can go anywhere from here. And the subjects on those buses are primarily from that area of where Melrose Elementary School is. On the bus, you will see the image of Angela Bassett. You will see the image of the president of St. Pete College, Tanja Williams. You will see on that bus the image of Renee Flowers, who also grew up in the Jordan Park community. You will see the image of the school's principal driving that girl bus. And then you got the boy bus. And the images on that bus include Will Packer, include Kenny Leon, include Dr. Brian Ligon, include Chief Luke Williams. And let me not forget, Judge Patrice Moore on the girl bus, but children who can actually identify with individuals who were raised and were cultivated in a community who stayed on the bus. And the essence is staying on that bus, but it's art and them seeing themselves and the ability and capability of moving beyond that space.
And to see people who are alive and who they can see in their community and they can meet and have a conversation with them.
Absolutely. And they've all agreed to come to that space and have those conversations with these youths, reminding them, we are of this community and you can go anywhere from here. Fascinating. I'm excited.
Is it tough to get exposure as a Black artist in the community, in the greater Tampa Bay area community?
How many do you know personally?
How many Black artists?
Yeah, from this area.
The only, I just went to the Jabari Edmonds thing over on MLK North, and he had a big giant crowd. He seems to be doing pretty well, but I don't know. Maybe are there many that I don't know that are too invisible?
Needless to say, there are far too many that we don't know. We tend to pick an artist, and that's the artist.
Yeah.
And that concerns me considerably, particularly in our community. And not just in art, but in so many different spaces. We find an African-American, and that's the African-American. And you tap those individuals over and over and over again, where the field is just full of so many brilliant and talented people within the African-American community that are unseen, that are unknown because of the lack of exposure.
And Lee or Cranston, what can be done about that? A lot can be done about that. What should be done about that, and what can be done relatively quickly?
Well, I would ask your audience to do some research. You know, we have an artist listing on Creative Pinellas' website, but also just to, you know, search on Facebook as well. And I think that so much of it also is do your research, but also realize that showing up, and I understand that in times of COVID, it's difficult, but you can still show up, you know, through a Zoom, show up through your pocketbook, show up through your wallet, show up through going on Facebook, liking, sharing, advocating, writing letters, writing postcards, you know, just being visible. That really helps. And again, the grants, you know, establishing new funds, you know, that's what can be done.
I piggyback on all of what you just said. I know for me personally, a lot of what has helped, I've been producing shows in the community for years, since 2006. I used to do this live entertainment show called Romantic Expressions, to where I went into the community and I got the talent in the community. And I used the platform that I had at the time, you know, thanks to Terry and the museum. There were many opportunities where she allowed me to produce shows within the museum, and that allowed more of the community to actually come out and see talent that lived within the community. But even more so than that, with me acting in plays with American Stage and things of that nature, that introduced more of the North Side or my white counterparts. They saw me and said, oh, wow, he's talented, he's from St. Petersburg, and he's putting on this show, I wanna see him in something else. So when they come to this Romantic Expression show at the Carter G. Woodson African American History Museum, and they see this other talent that's around, then it's like, oh wow, they're from this area too. And that kind of has helped more people get to know what's happening more in the community or get exposed to more talent, to where, like Terry said, saying one Black person isn't getting used for everything. But going back to what Lee was saying, going out to Facebook, looking at different events, things of that nature, funding is really important for us, because the better resources that we have at our exposure, the better the products we can put out, you know, that will be comparable to what you're used to seeing. And it's been because we've had a lack of resource that we've had to kind of make do with what we have. You know, we had to pull on some other things. And so a lot of it, when you come to it, it may not be all the way up to par of what you're used to, because the funds aren't there to add that production value, to where if they were there, you would see it in its splendor and glory, and probably even 10 times better than it could ever have been imagined with the proper resources there. I know in my growth, in my work here in the city, we've been able to, build our own production company to where, you know, we're producing our own films and movies and all that good stuff now. But I mean, that's one of the main things that I've been able to do in the community. But I had to like really scrimp and save my own money and finance a lot of the things myself where I've asked for help and assistance, but it just wasn't really being given because I wasn't that known, or I didn't have certain credentials that would have went along with that. But to not get too far off the point, funding, resources, all of those good things help support by going online, looking at Facebook, seeing the events that are happening in the community, and supporting that really helps us to push this initiative and move the needle forward to building equity that is balanced within this city of opportunity.
I got a good question here from Marilyn Miller that I'll put to everybody and anybody who wants to weigh in. And that is, what is the art scene in St. Pete missing that other vibrant art communities do have?
I would say the commitment from our local governments. When I travel across the country and I'm touring other African-American museums in particular, they're state funded, they're locally funded, and that investment in large part is there, making this huge investment. And in a sense, in that regard of reparations, if you will, recognizing the lack of investment that hasn't been made in African American history and culture, and putting their money where their mouth is. We can't continue to talk about diversity and inclusion and equity without bringing some money to the table, okay? I mean, I want any of you to correct me if I'm wrong, but how do you create a sense of equity without making a financial commitment? Bricks and mortar are critically important in doing that. And we are coming around a bit, and I'm grateful to say, and I don't want to miss this opportunity to do so. The Woodson, in fact, in partnership with the James Museum has offered the Woodson space during the month of June, from June through the end of August, to exhibit in that space so that our community can have firsthand sense of appreciation for what a proper African-American exhibit in our community can look like, that the Woodson is producing, curating, and we're excited about that. We have a partnership with Jane Bunker, an extraordinary and talented artist in our community. There's a story there. My mother died a few years back, and Jane wanted to start a scholarship fund in my mother's name. And I pleaded with her and thanked her graciously and said, you know, how honored I was. But my mother's name doesn't resonate in this community, and asked if she would counter that with me naming the scholarship the Woodson Warrior Scholarship. And she agreed. We have a Woodson Warrior Scholarship as a result of this talented artist who creates art and sell every image, and all of those resources are made available to African-American scholars here in the city of St. Petersburg. These are the kind of partnerships that are needed in order for us to build upon that equity element. So in fairness, I would have been remiss in not acknowledging those type of the Museum of History and the opportunities that they've created for the Woodson to partner for there to be a presence. But to get back to the point, it has to be a substantial investment by the city and the state into projects like this in order to move the needle.
And you're talking about more than just, that's my echo, sorry, you're talking about more than just handing over land that they haven't been able to figure out what to do with. I'm trying to get you in trouble and you're not going to fight.
No, I genuinely believe that, I will say, more has been done in this vein than has ever been done before. Mm-hmm. And I'm a true believer that little by little we go far. What I do also understand is that commitment has to be on the front end. We're coming up in an election season, and I'm just going to be very honest. If we don't have individuals who are looking to support and creating an African American museum in this city, you're not my person. Okay. I mean, it's as simple as that. I mean, I need that commitment from whomever's running for anything. I need to know that you're all in.
Lee, as coming from the perspective of somebody that really is in the trenches and also has not been here that long, what have you learned about this community and the arts?
Oh, we're so welcoming. We're so creative, innovative, very welcoming. And we are clear the impact of arts and culture on the rest of the community. You know, we're clear about the impact of partnerships for education through arts and culture, on placemaking through arts and culture. And that to me would be what I feel like we continue to build upon that. You know, if you're trying to educate students of any age, consider adding an arts and culture component to that. If you're trying to beautify an area, go to a local artist as opposed to, you know, outside of the area. You know, same thing for if you're looking for, you know, a jingle or a song, or, you know, just thinking about outside of our advertising agencies, go to an artist. So I think that that's one of the ways that we as a community can continue to grow. We as artists have a tendency to think about that all the time. I'm asking for there to be more public-private partnerships in that, where the business community is thinking, wait a minute, can we get an artist on this? Wait a minute, can we get a creative on this? Wait a minute, where are they? And not it's, let's make a place at the table, but that table was already set. That place said it was already there. It wasn't, oops, let's add an extra chair. Let's see whether or not we can get, do we have another serving? Okay, we can make it happen, but it was already there. The place was already set. We were the first on the invitation. Maybe a second. You know, we were first on the invitation list, not at the end, because artists they're innovators. They think about solutions all the time. They're always collaborating. There is no no. You know, that's one of the things, my background's in theater. There is no no. You know, many of you know Bob Devin Jones. The answer is yes. Say yes. You know, there is no, we're going to find a way to make it work. And that is at the core of creatives. We're going to find out a way to make it work. And we're going to make sure, how can we be inclusive? How can we include people? You know, theater doesn't come together without your set, your costumes, your lights, you know, all these different. So a community doesn't come together without your artists, your faith communities, you know, your developers, your builders, your medical, your education. We all need to be there.
I want to add to all of this as well, and to say, include us in your programming throughout the entire year, as opposed to just January, February. I've discovered that that's a lot of the times where, like Terry said in the beginning, you know, that's when you see us. You see us in January and February, but throughout the rest of the year, we kind of fade to the back again. And I think in this conversation about equity and inclusion, and the city of opportunity and being the city that we are, you know, growing to become, if we're really going to become that city that truly, you know, represents what we say we are, then including us in programming throughout the year is going to be key to helping to make that happen. And, you know, with these initiatives, I see us even thriving even more, because being born and raised here, this is truly a city of the arts. I've seen the city where, when we've been more arts focused and those things are infused in our schools, they're infused in our communities, they're infused in our churches, and just in the entire city. When we are more arts focused, this city comes alive. There's just a vibe, a feeling that exists here when we are really giving to the arts and really feeding into that. And I've been here in the city where we've cut the funding for different art programs to build this or build that that has no art relation at all, and you destroy the history of something for the sake of building more housing for, you know, more of the upper echelon to have a nicer place, to have a waterfront view. But when we've engaged in really highlighting the arts in this city, we come alive in a way that is, it's just a feeling I can't even describe. I'm feeling good just saying that. When we really give focus to that, how this city just is one, a place you really want to be. We really are that paradise that is what made me come back home from going away for college and then living a music career for some years and then saying, you know what, there's no place like home. And to come home and see, you know, that there is some opportunity for art to exist and that you can make some sort of a living doing it, to not be able to thrive in that here where you should be able to, is one of the things that I hope we can continue to work turn around.
Thank you, Terry. We're going to wrap it up, but how about 30 seconds for you to say or plug or beseech, whatever you want.
Thank you so much for that, Adam, and thank you all for this opportunity. The Carter G. Woodson African American Museum will be kicking off their capital campaign before the end of the month, and it is just the beginning, and I know that each and every one of you will want to be on the front end of being a charter member of this extraordinary legacy that we're looking to create here in the city of St. Petersburg. So reach out to us at woodsonmuseum@gmail.com. Go to our website, woodsonmuseum.org, and we are grateful for what we're all going to do to ensure that we have a magnificent Black History Museum in our state. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Joanna. Thank you to all of you. Really appreciate it. It was really interesting. I learned a lot. Joanna.
Thank you. Thank you. Tigers, thanks for the engagement and the questions in between bites of your lunch, of course. A special thank you to Cranston, Lee, and Terry for your time and very thought-provoking answers. Please provide us with your social media handles or websites or whatever you have. So any contact information that'll help us follow you and support your art, really. And everyone, I hope that you'll continue to join us and support us in keeping the conversation going in 2021. And we did have a few unanswered questions in the Q&A that I'm going to try to post to our Facebook page. So panelists, please tune into our Facebook page if you want to chime in there and help answer those. With that, thank you all so much, and I hope to see you next time.
Changemakers, celebrating the arts and culture of St. Pete's Black community. Presentation of Suncoast Tiger Bay. And presented to you tonight on Sunshine 96.7 FM and Radio St. Pete online. To find out more about Tiger Bay, visit tigerbay.org.